This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which, if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good, as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finedining podcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh.
Applebee's?
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy. Okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
Okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finedining podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I like that laugh.
Damn it.
I'm
thought about killing myself.
Are you?
Bruce fucking Springsteen.
Damn it.
Why?
What?
Yeah, people are gonna die.
Yeah, baby.
In Jesus' name, amen.
And Maria, I see Oppenheimer. Yes.
Yes.
And then he says,
then the music.
What happened?
Okay, I think he says what happened to them.
Uh-huh.
That's my theory.
He's saying what happened to who?
I don't know, the whole crew.
He starts the reading movie? The producer's names. He's like, Emma Thomas.
What happened to them?
What happened?
I don't know. It doesn't really add any more clarity to what he did.
You remember my birthday off the top of your head, right?
October.
Mm-hmm. Mid-October.
19th?
Emphasis on mid. No, 11th.
11th?
Yeah.
Okay.
On October 8th, Sonny Boy is coming out. Al Pacino's first memoir. So happy birthday
happy
to
Happy birthday,
me.
Kevin. I hope you get 10 copies.
Yeah. One hard copy and then one audiobook copy for sure to hear whatever.
Is he going to read it?
He has to read it.
Oh my
right?
God.
Read by me. Ow.
And I hope he says what happened
so
in between
slow.
Every like paragraph.
No.
And the chapter's coming and here it is.
I was talking to Nate about that clip and about just like how. I was like, are we just laughing at a senile old man, you know, who's like losing his mind? And then I remembered he's having a baby.
That's right.
He like, is.
And we were on a plane back from a trip, and I saw a couple with like a baby, like, I don't know, eight, 9 months or so. And I was like, imagine being like, okay, now go to daddy. And it's Al Pacino.
He's like, I'm going to pick him up. And here I go.
Here I go.
And I'm picking him up right now.
And like, he dies when you're like 10. Best case scenario.
Maybe.
And he's 95.
Yeah.
And you're like, there's daddy.
That is a life.
What a life.
I suppose. Yeah, his ninth child or whatever it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I hope this is all still relevant when this comes out 2 weeks from now or whatever. We're a little
Oscars
bit ahead.
Talk.
Oh, yeah. Talking
Never
Oscars.
Let them forget. Yeah. Did you watch the Oscars?
Just clips on TikTok.
Okay.
You know, the greatest hit.
The good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Al Pacino. It's also like, who decided to, why is he presenting this award?
Well, this is what it is. And welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have Good Christian Fun. It's the podcast where we talk about... What happened? Should I start saying that after every intro? It's the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the music, the movies, the entertainment made for, made by, and made about Christians and Christianity. But we're not here to make fun of you or to make you go to church or to take you away from church. We're just here to have fun. And what they do every year is they entrust the most important award of the evening to an octogenarian that may or may not know what's going on and where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Jane Fonda with Parasite did a stunning job. I believe Harrison Ford gave it to Coda however many years ago.
Warren
and
Beatty.
Of course, Warren and Faye twice in
magic.
A row after La La Land, they were like, let's give them another try. And they did it for Shape of Water as
That's
well.
Right.
So, you know, this is sort of the tradition.
Mm-mm. I think they're doing it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're like, let's throw an old out there. Because one, it's like old Hollywood, literally. Mm-hmm. And then two, it's kind of like something wild will happen.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll get a little more Oscars juice.
Lady
out
Gaga
of that
and
orange.
Liza Minnelli. That was the other one.
Yeah.
Aww. Where it's just like, this is starting to feel abusive.
It is abusive.
But Lady Gaga's so good with the elderly.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to get an old, as you say, like so old, you need a young to usher them.
And just there's backup in case something
right?
goes
so if Kamala needs to drop off the ticket, we have a backup. We have a plan. She's right there.
She is the handler.
She could help.
We need a handler.
So
handler.
Much.
And Lady Gaga's a really good one.
She is, and she really does love old people.
I know, she does. Tony Bennett, she loves old.
Yeah, she does. She loved him to the grave.
Oh, he's dead?
Yeah.
When did he die?
Oh, he passed away.
Recently, though, right?
In the last two, he passed away last year.
Oh, Tony.
He passed away July of last year.
He got
year.
To hear Joanne before he left, though.
He's like, I have one more quest.
Joanne!
No, in the last days, that's all he could sing was Joanne.
I love an old.
Total
I love
game
an old.
To him.
Dancing in Circles. He loved that song. Is that the song on it?
I don't know.
There's one song in Joanne about jacking off called like, I'm Dancing in Circles.
Huh?
Yeah, no, I'm not crazy about it. You're
I
a Joanne
that.
Stan. You're a Joe
I know.
Stan.
I'm a Joe Stan, but
Dancing in Circles, yes.
That's about.
Yeah, this is absolutely about J&L.
I don't think I ever really listened to the lyrics. Maybe purposely.
You're a music forward listener.
Oh, Renee Rapp just debuted an album. Sorry.
Oh, okay. In this segment, Caroline just narrates the first thing she sees.
Okay, let me tell you what else is going on Spotify.
Yeah, what else is going
Let's see. Recommended radio is huge.
Oh, God. What's being recommended?
Let's see. Armchair Expert.
Oh, okay.
And that's about it.
You're getting recommended Armchair Expert. Wow.
I don't think that's my fault. I think that's just the biggest podcast.
Mm.
Oh my gosh. Popular listeners of Good Christian Fun. Guess what they recommended?
Armchair Expert?
Gilmore Guys.
Hey.
The other Armchair Expert.
Yeah, we were kind of the Dax and Monica of our time. And I think it's clear who's who in that equation. Oh boy. But we're not talking about giants of podcasting. We're talking about giants of football facing the Giants. And perhaps a little boy named David who has to face the Giants. This is the Kendrick Brothers movie from 2006.
and we're going to talk about it, but we need help from a very special guest to talk about it. Making her return on the podcast after many years, friends and folks, she is a comedian and an actor. You may know her from Shining Vale or 911 Lone Star. Give it the hell up again for Nina Concepcion!
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Delighted to have you.
Honored to be here.
Another Kendrick Brothers joint.
Finally, we're closing the loop. And I mean, maybe this is what we bring you in for, because there's a few more on the filmography. No, there's a few more.
There's a new one coming.
There's a new one coming called The Forge, with an all African American cast.
But he's still behind it?
But he's still behind it.
He wrote it too.
Yes, he sure
did. No, Alex Kendrick.
There's.
Who I thought was Dan Aykroyd when I watched the trailer. When you sent me the trailer.
Who do you think is a better actor?
That'd be amazing.
Alex Kendrick or Dan Aykroyd? It might be neck and neck
in
some cases.
It might be neck and neck.
War Room, you know.
Oh, War Room, yeah, familiar.
Faith of Our Fathers. Ugh, that's a movie he was an editor on. He was in a documentary called Show Me the Father.
No.
Which is about five fatherhood-related stories connected. It's all about, yes, good fathers, absent fathers, and abusive fathers. It talks about Stephen Kendrick's daughter, who they adopted from China. So, yes, much to talk about.
Obsessed with being a father.
He loves dad stuff.
The through line of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ugh. He's so obsessed.
His pregnancy. Oh, goodness. Nina, thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me.
Wait, Caroline, you want to ask updates about things that we're hanging in the air from last time.
I don't know. These are not like banner huge updates, but, you know, maybe just give us, you know, how's it been since the last 5 years?
It's been good.
I think you had begun a prayer practice, but sort of post-deconstruction back then.
Is this ringing a bell at all?
Yeah. I'm keeping it vague on purpose, but yeah.
You were on in June of 2018.
We're all fellow Reality LA alums.
Yes. Survivors, I like to call myself.
Your parents had just gotten remarried.
Oh my goodness. A lot has changed. Okay. I think I had just...
You were an unmarried woman yourself.
I was an unmarried woman.
Yeah. Did you get married?
I did.
To the guy?
Yeah.
That was like an update. I was like, I want to know about that, but maybe not on air, just in case.
We're married.
You thought that was a risky question.
Well,
like,
what if it was? I don't know. But you'd been together for so many years even
exactly.
then. Exactly. So, oh my gosh.
10 now. 10 total.
Congrats.
2 years married. Thank you.
Wow. Yay.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Parents are still together.
Amazing.
Wild.
You said at the time, I talk about them in therapy
it's
a lot.
So, yeah. No, that is so crazy that in 2018, because that's when I was rekindling my relationship with them. Because we had not been talking for an amount of years.
Wow.
So things are healed there.
Wow.
Great family.
That's great.
Wow.
Yes. I was just with them over Christmas. I would say 2018 started talking to them both again, and
oh my god,
yeah, things are great with them, great with my sisters.
That's huge.
Spirituality wise, I would say further than ever from the label of a Christian.
I was about to ask if it's true that the family that prays together stays together, but it sounds like that's not your experience.
No, But I would say a prayer practice. That's so funny that I would say that. I think like I do like artist, you know, morning pages.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like spiritually connected to the universe. I think I'm figuring it out still.
Do you still do morning pages?
I do the 5 minute journal.
Okay.
Do you know what that is?
No. Tell me.
5 minute journal is amazing. They give you, you do it in the morning and at night, and it gives you prompts. So you list like every day, three things you're grateful for.
This is from Artist Way?
No, this is something different that I do in...
From Nina's Way.
I do it hand in hand with the Artist Way. But it's a great journal because the morning pages are so intense. And
they're too intense.
They're too intense, right? They're not sustainable. You can't do three giant... And she's always like, make sure they're giant pages, not like a little notebook.
My hand hurts.
I'm like, no. So the 5 minute journal is amazing. Yeah. Yeah, they give you prompts. You write down like a daily affirmation. You write down three things that'll make today great. And then you do a check-in before bed and you do like three highlights of the day.
That is so smart.
Yeah.
Hey, I do three highlights of the day too when I journal.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, or three things that happened. Maybe they're not highlights, but three usually most memorable things.
Yeah.
Highlights it assumes positive, but sometimes it's negative.
That's cool. Yeah.
But a lot of times it's positive. But so the daily affirmation, is that the same every day?
No, you can you change it up.
Okay.
And yeah, it's really nice to do. I went to the desert this weekend with a bunch of women. That was really it kind of helped me get back to morning pages, because I did morning pages there in the desert. And so I'm like, now I'm kind of doing them when I want to.
Love
when
that.
I need to.
Yes.
When I have time in the desert.
We don't need rigidity.
We don't need rigidity. No.
The morning pages.
Yeah.
I remember when I was doing Artist Way, I would get so fed up with it that the last two pages would just be me writing out in longhand, because it has to be longhand. Mm-hmm. So with your hand writing, I would just write out blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Just to get it done.
It started to feel like a quiet time, you know, like Christian quiet time.
Fully.
It was like kind of like forced, like it has to be at 6 a.m. It has to be a long time. And I was just like, nah.
Yeah.
I was done with this.
Exactly. I found the first
I left
time
this life.
When I did Artist Way, I was shocked by how many parallels there are to practices of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always, you know, she makes sure in the book to be like, this is, I'm using the word God as like a creator vibe, but it was
Julia.
A little.
We love
Julia.
We love some parallels. Julia.
Married to Marty. Scorsese.
Oh, yeah. Who she kind of obliquely references.
She
in
does.
Because she says, I was married to, because she talks about the concept of crazy makers in your life, people that drive you up the wall, drive you cuckoo. And she says something along the lines
of,
I was married to a crazy maker once.
Oh, my God. I missed that.
Yeah.
I wonder who that was.
Who could say?
What was the
He was short,
maker?
Italian, and full of energy and cocaine for most of our marriage. That could be anybody.
God, I can't imagine.
He wagged his eyebrows at me in shame.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Any of that stuff.
Fabulous.
So that's the spiritual practice.
I think so.
Absolutely.
And covenant marriage, one man, one woman.
Yeah.
That you've entered into.
And you know, Kyle and I are always like, we love our covenant of marriage.
Yes.
We really
he's spiritually leading you, I hope.
Oh, yes. Laying his hands on in prayer.
Okay. Only.
Right. Oh, you guys can do that.
Oh, yeah, that's
now.
True. Yeah. Now that we're married. Yes. Totally fine.
It's nice that you
But I love that you're holding the line and that shows dedication.
No, they're praying the whole time.
Exactly.
What she's saying.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's an act of prayer.
Did you guys ever hear couples that were like married and they're like, we listen to worship music while we do it?
No.
You guys
no.
Are, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
So to be clear, it would be, honey, I'm ready. Rose petals on the bed.
Oh, yeah. The live version too.
Yeah, this is Michael Brown Smith doing "Open the Eyes of My Heart."
Open the eyes of something.
Okay.
Oh.
Open the something of my soul.
Oh, that's heinous. That is heinous. Heinous. It feels disrespectful to God.
It does. God doesn't care. Doesn't want to be part of that.
No, he's like, please,
hey,
my business.
Leave me out of this.
Like, this is consensual. You
we
guys
need
have
better
fun.
Boundaries.
Yeah.
That is, I've been really into like the trad wife movement, you know,
this
on
is,
TikTok
yes,
and everything.
There's a wave of influencers on TikTok now who, these women who kind of present fashionably as traditional wives.
So concerning.
Like 1950s core. There's that one pouty Mormon girl.
Oh, Nara Smith. I love her. I actually do love her.
Oh yeah.
Well, she says she's figuring out her religion.
Okay.
Her
she's
husband's
some
a Mormon,
wiggle room.
Which means
she's,
show me the money.
But she never talks about God or anything on her TikToks.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like everyone knows. And she's also 22 with she's pregnant with her third.
Holy.
And she makes everything from scratch. She's like my kids want a grilled cheese, and then she makes the cheese from scratch.
Oh, I saw this.
She makes the cheese from scratch.
She makes her own
doing
cheese.
Curds and whey and shit for that.
No, not to dunk or punch down, but I did see one of these trad wife people pluck fresh strawberries from their field, and they were absolutely store-bought strawberries that they put in dirt and then just picked out of them.
And you're like, girl, what are you doing?
What appeals to you to this sort about this sort of influencer? What are you looking for?
Well, I can't look away. Mm-hmm. And then I love what I do is I find them on TikTok, and then you do like I'm really into Reddit. I say that like it's
Reddit breakdowns.
it's
our little dirty secret.
Yeah, I'm really into Reddit.
What kind of pill have you been taking, and is it red? Oh, no.
But there's all these snark pages. Uh-huh. So I love like influencer snark pages because everyone's like, what the fuck is like yes. this person doing? So I love reading about that. And yeah, it's just a dark wormhole I can't look away from. Because how many of those? Because at one point I was like, that's my dream. Yes. You know, when I was deep into the Christian.
That's the goal. To be an influencer, to be a wife.
To be a wife.
Okay.
I guess. Yeah. To
stay
be a
at
wife.
Home
yeah.
wife.
Yeah. But only when I was like the deep, deep Christian of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating.
So the fact that you're a wife now is purely by accident.
It's purely. I fell into it. Honestly, I'll tell you, the tax break, wonderful.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah.
The health mm-hmm.
Insurance.
Insurance.
Do you feel like
Drive Wives should talk about that more?
Yeah, they should.
You can get some more signups
it's
on
just
that.
Like they go through like their like W-2s the financials and like this of makes it. Everything so much better.
It's so wonderful. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So you
I
found
know,
it.
I just love. Yeah.
Are you also watching the kind of like post Trad Wife influencers?
The I don't know.
Bad wife? They're not influencers so much as like educators and trying to like sound yes. the alarm.
I love
basically.
That. I
They're
love
great.
All of it. Yeah.
Like the lawyers that are like, mm-hmm. here's what happens when you enter into this thing and you yeah. forego your career.
My God.
And they say they're going to take care of you. Legally, they don't have to. Right. So you're going to end up 45 with no job skills and the kids to take care yeah. of. And then there's other women who are like, you know, I'm 45 now. They're always 45, I'm guessing, right. around that. When the wisdom finally uh-huh. has
That's
to come
when
out.
It sinks in.
Yeah. And they'll talk about, yeah, like how they escaped or the book they wrote about yeah. it or like all the things they went through. It's just crazy.
Well, what I find fascinating, and who was that? Rachel Hollis?
Yeah.
Hollis? You know,
Girl
it's
Wash
like,
Your Ass.
Girl Wash yeah. Your Bed.
And her and her husband made so much money mm-hmm. off of their marriage. Mm-hmm. And so then they got to, wait, is he dead?
He passed away.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Wait, huh?
Wow, this is happened
I forgot
twice on
I
the
forgot
show.
About that.
Yeah, that's yes, right.
But then he I passed away. Dave Hollis passed away very tragically last year.
Like health related?
No, I don't think so. No. I forget the reason.
But
why.
It is, it's like that where it's like there's something you make money off of your something that is so personal and no one, and you hide what's actually going on. And then you know, it's like so insidious and dark to me yeah. when you make money off of something like your relationship
your
like
partnership,
that.
Totally.
Your partnership. Yeah. Because at the end, because then you're like, they're really trying to make money. That's what it is. And it's just scary.
I know. And at least in Hollywood, too, it's like you guys have like a precedent, you know, of like you're all cheating.
Right.
So
right.
it's like fine.
Right. Well, I was going to ask about that, of this rash we see of couples doing podcasts together that like have nothing to do with Christian, you know, Moshe and Natasha Leggero, obviously our king and queen, Dax and Kristen, Dax whenever and Kristen. They get on the mic together. But there's so many people that are like,
yeah, that's
oh,
true.
Well, and Andy Haynes and his wife, Rosebud Baker, that stand up, they have a podcast together. So this is like a lane
thing.
For people.
But when you're both comedians, it feels like, I don't know, slightly different than being like, we're going to talk about purely like how to be a married couple,
right.
how to have children, mm-hmm.
the
you know,
secret of our
marriage, like relationship,
no,
you know, building and
exactly.
like becoming
it
experts in that, especially with like yeah. the spirituality, you know,
that's,
woven in.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what gets scary. Cause I think there's a difference between like creative collaboration. Like Kyle and I collaborate on, we're also mm-hmm. creative partners, but I think when it's like you're trying to lead people to like live like this, you're selling like happiness or trying to.
Yes.
And it's like not real. Mm. It's
yeah.
not real.
And there are concessions about like, we're not perfect. We had this fight. Or it's like even that isn't real enough to like.
It's so.
No.
Do you know the Turk family? Like
the
Ashley Turk.
Turk.
I don't
family?
Really know a lot of it, but my sister sent me. So there was this, like, there's this girl, Ashley Turk. Mm-hmm. Her family is like famous Christians. I think I'm pretty sure they're Christian, but they're like influencers and, you know, yeah. and like she like and her husband, she was all about
this is these people.
Yes. Okay. But that's her new husband. That's her new husband.
Oh,
that's not
husband.
The that's
not the original.
That's not her child's father. Mm-hmm. Totally fine. But what's so weird is like, you know, she would post with her original husband all the time. Like we're a perfect family. Then she posted this cryptic Instagram post of them hugging in the airport. And it was like, we were just trusting God to take care of this. It was like, what the hell? Like, where is he going? They were clearly sending him off somewhere.
Mystery airport. Where is he going?
He got drafted in the war.
He's off in the war. It was like so weird. Huh? And then it came out that they divorced.
And that's how she announced it?
And now she's remarried, I think, all within like not very long. No judgment, whatever. But I'm like, again, here's a couple, right? You're like, and your family is like in the public eye. Mm-hmm. I think her mom and dad just got divorced. It's this whole like I don't know. It's just so fascinating.
Okay, can I tell you the couple I think of all the time that I'm very curious about is and I don't follow them. I've never like watched their show or anything. Yeah. But I'm like, there has to be some hanky stuff going on. Is the Magnolia House couple,
Joanna Gaines?
Chip and Joanna.
Chip and Joanna. Mm-mm. Like, there's no way.
No way,
right?
Dude.
No way.
What? There's so much money. There's so many like licensing deals. There's so
much gonna come out, and I can't wait
about them. Uh-huh. But I'm like, what's their arrangement? Like, you know, it's not equal. Whatever, like, you know. And like, how do they keep things like looking so perfect?
It's going to come out and there's going to be like a documentary about
it's going to be massive.
And then there's going to be like an HBO miniseries and I cannot wait.
I don't know. Maybe.
Not that we're rooting for the downfall.
No, but I hope they're fine.
Listen, as Al Pacino himself announced, Emma Thomas, Christopher Nolan, married, produced the movie together.
Even them. I was watching that and I was like, what's going on here?
But they're not like selling the relationship.
Yes.
No.
They're part of the Magnolia, the whole thing. They are part of the package.
Yes.
It's like The Curse. Did you guys watch The Curse?
It's like very heavily based on them, right?
Yeah. They're selling themselves as part of the package.
Yes.
Whereas I don't think anyone even knows. I didn't even know Christopher Nolan's wife like was produced. Like you'll know that if you're like a film buff. They're never like, that's not why people go to see Oppenheimer. Yeah,
I gotta see what this husband and wife did.
Yeah, it seems like they almost purposely keep a distinct persona. Yes. Like her accepting the award separately. And it wasn't like they were standing together being like, tee-hee,
holding
you know?
Hands.
Yeah, like kissing.
You mean Frances McDormand.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like,
that I think is an arrangement they make, you know? Like,
yes.
We are collaborators.
She's pregnant.
But they don't. They're like, okay, I'll let you have your moment, and you have your moment, and that's how we keep our like egos happy. You know,
It's interesting.
Chip and Joanna.
I find it fascinating when couples like sell their relationship and package it. That's what I find fascinating.
It's almost like guaranteed. It's not going well.
If
when
only
they do
there
that.
Was there was some sort of film that explored kind of the ins and outs of these marriages, these creative collaborations,
high profile marriages.
Yeah, like about a famous conductor, composer who may or may not be bisexual.
I thought you were talking about this movie.
Oh, me too. I thought you were talking Facing the Giant.
Of course, it goes to Maestro.
And you know, he's conducted in the cathedral. But at home, he might be a different story, of course. And oh my God. I got to tell a very offline friend of mine how hated Bradley Cooper is by the public writ large today. And he went because he texted me like, I just watched Maestro, thought it sucked. I was like, well, yeah, Bradley is the
good
villain.
Company.
And I converted. I made him feel so bad about Bradley Cooper on accident. I wasn't like, you should be. I just kept sending him headlines of him, you know, being sad and saying unhinged shit. By the end of it, he was like, well, now I want him to win because I'm afraid he'll like not be okay.
He really wants that Oscar.
You want to give him a pity Oscar?
Yeah.
He wants that Oscar.
No.
Man Hathaway.
Grow up.
Grow up.
Grow
up is the thing. Also, the thing we talked about recently that explicitly talks about some of this stuff is, of course, J-Lo and Ben.
I know. Ooh. I was thinking of them, too. But
did you guys watch?
Of course. Have you watched it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my
and
God.
And I love J-Lo. That's my girl. And I can't defend this. I can't.
But I think that's part of the love, right?
And that's part of the love.
It's just like, she just is who she is.
Go ahead, girl. The Council of Zodiac people is something I will never get over.
And knowing too that was like 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th down choice. Like the list was so far down.
When
on
you're
the
getting
bottom,
to Neil deGrasse Tyson, it was like someone said no.
A few people said.
Many
Post
said
Malone.
No.
Well, she said who said no.
Oh, yeah, she did. Taylor and Ariana all said no.
Vanessa Hudgens. By the way, congrats.
I know. She's
By the way, so Caroline is keeping Sister track of all of the people who are pregnant, the celebrities who are pregnant.
Hillary Duff.
The fourth. Yes, they're fourth.
Wow. Who do you feel the most sisterhood with right now?
Good question.
As far as like.
Wow.
tracking your
I don't
your
know. We're all on various, you know, tracks here. Let me pull up my list. Courtney, you know, was early. Courtney Kardashian.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
She's way ahead of me.
I wonder if your son, little Elmo Garfield Seinfeld Kramer Ely, will share a birthday with a Nepo baby.
That would be so cool. Oh, Ayesha Curry was one I just found out about. I didn't
She's
know
pregnant
about
again?
That. Yeah. Someone messaged me that. I had no
She's
idea.
She's a trad wife.
Oh. It, also a high-profile couple that apparently does not
talk.
Enjoy each other or
oh.
talk
Wait,
or do
no.
anything. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh no!
They
what?
Like they like live completely separate lives. This is Steph Curry's wife, right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. Okay.
In Caroline's words, grow up.
What?
That's a anyway.
Again, I gotta look at her Instagram.
Yeah. Sophia Richie, I think, is behind.
Oh
me.
Yeah, she's priggers. She's cute.
I don't know. I feel like Vanessa and I are maybe on the same timeline. We'll see. So maybe her.
Yeah, she looked like she might be far along. What's that?
It's inevitable.
Birth is inevitable is what you're saying.
Suki Waterhouse also, I think, might be
wow
tracking.
Wow. Anyway,
good There's luck to the girls. Hang in there.
I wish I had a group chat where you could be sharing, you
that
know.
That's so cool.
Hey, this happened to me today. This happened to me.
Do you think I'm on their list?
Oh, probably like top 1,000 podcasters that we shared pregnancies with.
Top 1 million nobodies. Following me.
Well, speaking of getting pregnant, we should talk about this movie. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more good Christian
yes.
fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like...
feel as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good
going,
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I agree.
The first month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive into the topic.
I guess it's already shaking her head, curling her lip. She's so mad. I'm so excited.
I'm mad that I picked this.
Did you know? I mean, and you, it was.
I was going to pick the other one.
It was a Hail Mary. Oh, there was between man. Two other movies, one of which we may do.
What was the other one?
We'll save that for a rainy day.
Okay.
Perhaps. But to be clear, okay, again, the movie we did last time was called Courageous, and it was about policemen. It was I'm looking for a little synopsis of it because
remember they made like some kind of like creed, Father Creed, right?
They sure did. Yeah,
they made a like, daddy pact.
Yeah, and they were like, this is how we're gonna live.
Put their hogs into a circle and slapped them together. And no, but the thing I was gonna say
them.
Is they re-released it since we recorded.
Why
they put it back out in theaters and did like a director's cut.
Oh, God.
Huh?
Oh, in 2020, in October of 2020, courageous. They announced a re-release of the film, but added a 10 years later sequence after the film's original ending.
Not October 2020,
October
by the way.
October of 20. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's when their demo would be like, hell yeah, let's go to the movie.
For mm-hmm. cop movie stuff now. Yeah.
October 2020.
Oh, my God. 10 years later update.
Yeah, so the movie was called Courageous Legacy. That's what the new cut of it was called.
Legacy.
So Nina, we're gonna have to have you come back on.
Yeah, for the legacy cut.
I can't look at this guy's face anymore. Is he in Courageous? I don't remember.
Yeah.
He's always in his
don't
stuff, right?
Don't you remember
right?
him dancing in the field by himself?
Oh,
to this day, I blocked out the funniest this movie. Images.
Whoa.
Of this entire podcast.
Oh my, Caroline, I fully forgot
this. Well, let's just revisit real quick.
Yeah. So this is because he loses his daughter? And yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Daddy daughter dances with the goat.
Daddy, daddy, it's a daddy daughter dance.
daddy daughter.
Oh no. Oh no.
Is it all coming back?
Oh my God!
No. It's this ukulele music. Holy shit!
This is bad.
He's like by the driveway. Oh God.
We need to do the other movies on Heaven is for Names if we don't, because they.
Look at his stupid face. I hate him. Dan Aykroyd.
I think he has a very intelligent face.
Dan Aykroyd.
I really thought it was him in the trailer.
You. Really thought it was Dan Aykroyd in
is that why you picked
Facing
it?
Yeah. the Giant.
Like, oh, this will be funny.
Yeah, SNL's great.
It'll be good.
I love him. Wait, putting Kendrick into Wikipedia is not helpful.
Alex
Kendrick, because they did another movie.
War Room, I remember War Room.
Overcomer in 2019. And you're not going to believe who he plays in this one, Caroline. A basketball coach
who reluctantly begins coaching cross country.
And the entire team are all his children.
I can't.
He has six children IRL.
Oh, Lord. Of course he does.
He sure does.
I do want to say,
like, something got uncorked after this movie.
No. I kept laughing at the fact that Facing the Giants, right, about a football coach, came out in 2006, which is the year Friday Night Lights, the TV show, came out, and both are Coach Taylor.
They're both Coach Taylor.
I could not get past that.
I thought they were, like, lifting that from Friday Night.
Right.
No. Okay.
No. It was, wow. And they shot it in 2004.
Oh, so this
Friday
is
Night
forever
actually,
to come
stole
out.
From them.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
But wasn't there a movie Friday Night Lights?
There
earlier?
Sure was. I wonder if it was Coach Taylor in that movie.
Because I just could not get past that this is like Texas Southern Coach Taylor.
No, it's not Coach Taylor in the movie.
This is fascinating.
Billy Bob Thornton is Coach Gary Gaines.
It's a weird coincidence.
Although Connie Britton is also in the movie. That's funny. Huh. Let's watch the trailer for Facing the Giants real quick just to refresh our memory and for the listeners at home. So far, so good for an audio podcast. There's a bunch of football stuff with real life high school football teams that they shot and filmed.
Oh.
I'm not saying he's not a good man. I'm saying he's not a good coach. Just look at the facts. We need new leadership. Mm.
That car.
Died again.
That car.
The loser mobile.
He's like adult Charlie Brown.
He's disgusting.
I feel like they're giants of fear and failure staring down at me, waiting to crush me.
We're Bradley Coopering him right now, the writer director, the maestro of this football.
Oh my God.
What's the purpose of this team?
Win ball games?
Winning football games is too small.
And don't jack off.
We're not here just to make money and power. So I'm here to present you a new team philosophy. We need to give God our best
He's
in every area.
Philosophy.
And if we win, we praise Him. And if we lose,
not philosophers.
We praise Him.
What are you doing? This program's going in the tank. You got a chance, man. Coach, I'm done.
Now is when you lead, right now.
Mm, come on, that poor kid.
And yelled at.
Like the aroma of your heart. If your attitude stinks, it means your heart's not right. How's your attitude, Brock?
It's fine.
Then you'll be okay with the death crawl, right?
Keep going, Brock. Come on. Kid is so abused. Entire movie.
That's an improv exercise, right?
Yeah.
It's like zip, zap, top.
You can't win football games if you don't play together as a team.
Never lose faith.
We got the toughest schedule we ever had and less talent than we ever had.
A great movie.
Dot, dot, dot.
Every family in America
should say.
NFL coaching great said that.
You will remember today how much you remember that you held nothing back.
That was a whoopsie.
You did not stop fighting. You did not quit.
Okay, Facing the Giants.
The wife's in it a little.
She's in it a little bit, sure.
Good blonde wife.
Yeah, so it's about a down on their luck Christian school football team named the Eagles.
Down on their luck is
putting
it
mildly.
Underselling it.
They fucking suck. They're all losers.
He sucks. He's a loser.
No, I mean, he's the biggest loser of all time.
His house stinks.
His house stinks.
His wife stinks.
His dick's broke. Oh, his dick's broke.
And it's been broke for 4 years.
The oven doesn't work.
Their oven, they have to.
And everywhere this man goes, he walks into people talking about what a piece of shit he is.
He's such a loser.
Constantly overhearing conversations of like, he's fine, but really he sucks. Well, bad. We gotta get him out of here.
Such a loser.
And then just
dick broke for 4 years.
Yeah, until
and
one
he
day
go check on it.
He was just praying. He was like, you know, he's dancing in the field.
No,
and you know, starts working again. For context, it was obviously shot in Albany, Georgia.
Okay.
Very Georgia movie. Sherwood Baptist Church. This is a Sherwood Baptist Church joint, which means it was funded by Sherwood Baptist Church.
Yeah, they've turned their church into a small production company.
And there's volunteers as cast members, which I don't know if you were able to tell.
Volunteer actors.
Volunteer actors, volunteer like set deck, pose, you know, all this stuff, which
That's
is why it took so long.
That's how they do it.
They have deep talent at this church.
But the thing is, like, they made it for $100,000 and it made $10.2 million.
Oh,
so the return, the ROI was insane.
And I'm sure they redistributed that to everybody at the church. Equally.
Facing the Giants' legacy.
Yeah.
What's his dick doing 10 years later after
dick better than ever.
Broken.
He's so like distasteful the entire movie. And like the fact one that he's a loser, which is like, listen, we all go through patches of losers.
Stop looking at me. Stop gesturing at me.
We all have tough times. But he's like, not only is he a loser, he's a whiner.
He's a whiner.
And he's so mean to everybody.
The first like 20 minutes, I was like, he's not even looking up. He's always looking down.
Always down.
And he's like hunched. And he's just like, I'm just like, I want to like
slap this man. He's like frowning like a teenager. Like, his wife has to handle him like a little child.
Mm. It is absurd.
She gives him a sandwich after he's come home from his car that he had to slide in neutral into the middle of the yard. Yep. She's like, what's going on with the car? And he's like, it's broken. She's like, do you want me to check on it? And he goes, stop it.
He literally
and then
says
she
that.
Gives him a sandwich for dinner. Mm-hmm. And he's, I thought we were going to have spaghetti.
And I guess you need the stove for that because she says the stove is broken. I mean, you do need this.
I'm going to call you out on that, unfortunately.
Spaghetti is traditionally prepared with some heat.
This is how trad wife swung away pendulum, where she's like, stoves or microwave?
You get the pasta wet one way or another.
I was thinking oven.
But she does say the oven's broken, I think.
I think she says
not
the
wrong.
Oven's broken. And I'm
yeah,
like,
she might say
maybe
that.
Maybe she does some kind of oven-baked spaghetti.
I don't know.
Well, it sounds like her oven's broken,
she's
too,
been, yeah, waiting for 4 years. They've been trying.
She only makes $6,000 a year. He said, you bring home $6,000 at the flower shop,
what
I guess.
What does he make again?
$24,000.
They gave real stats, real
numbers.
In a way that, and I know it adjusted for inflation and 20 years ago when they shot this, but it was like, oh, they are on the poverty line.
Like below. Yeah.
And how do they even have a house?
Their house was
well,
nice, too.
It's
it was
Georgia.
Like a nice kitchen.
Tons
yeah.
of land.
I mean, we would all own 5 houses if we lived in
Georgia. So true. And, yeah.
That actually is
And I
true.
Have 7 children.
I know.
But yeah, and they've been trying. Okay. The pregnancy journey I have to talk about because
it resonated,
it's on
I'm
my
sure,
mind.
Right.
Okay. So, the idea. Okay, so this is just his home life. Like he's got his coaching life, his career. You know, that's the bread and butter of the movie. Mm-hmm. The home is there.
People
to,
talking shit about him constantly, and
just
him
constantly
stumbling
in
on
like,
meetings.
In his hair.
The B story is the home life.
The B story is the home life. He's got a wonderful blonde wife.
Beautiful.
Couldn't be sweeter.
Couldn't be blonder.
Couldn't be more helpful all the
so
time.
Helpful.
He treats her like dirt.
Dirt.
Thinks she's so fucking annoying. And she keeps talking about how they've been trying to have a baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they've been trying for 4 years.
Which is a long time.
That's a long time.
And she brings that up because she's like, oh, we're going to have another bill for the doctor because mm-hmm. I went to go get checked out. And then she has to, with the kid, the softest of kid gloves, be like, do you think maybe it's time?
Because the doctor said I'm fine.
Also, my husband has come with me for every single appointment I've gone to, which is a lot of them. There's so many. This man cannot show up for her for a single one, let alone get his dick checked.
Caroline, he's got giants to face. I don't know what Nathan's doing, but
very weird job.
Yeah,
he is not busy during the day.
He's
free.
$1.5 an hour.
Practices at 3 p.m. He could show up at the 10 a.m. appointment to hear her once again
exactly.
have the mean nurse at the clipboard tell her, "You're not pregnant. Go home, loser."
No, they're all rooting for her at the clinic.
They do. They are
rooting for her.
Like, oh, I really hope she's pregnant this
time.
They
say that out loud.
The nurse says, "I hope she's pregnant this time."
This time.
This is
like,
happening
in the
a
waiting
lot.
Room. Mm-hmm. And so then she's like, "Do you think maybe it's time for you to go get checked out?" And he's like, "Why?" And then she's like, "Because." And then she has to talk about her dream of having a baby for a long time.
A long monologue.
Uh-huh. And then he's like, "Okay." Even though I don't have to work until 3 p.m. every day, I'll go
get it. It's not like he's
out.
A teacher. He's literally just a high school football coach.
Only to find out
it's his problem. And it usually is, by the way.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And
I got to go to the doctor.
The way that, like, for the rest of the movie, it was like, I don't care what he can turn around.
Yeah.
He cannot turn this around for me.
Oh.
4 years of not getting his dick checked out. After one, go do it just as a courtesy.
Just for fun. Okay,
gentlemen.
Yeah, just for fun.
Yeah. Make it a fun
trip.
Aren't
you curious? What if it's great news and you find out I have the best dick of
all
time? Yeah,
you never know what the news could be from the dick doc.
And by the way, the sperm is in the dick.
Yeah. Yeah. The sperm is in the dick and the pee is in the balls. Like the ABBA song.
Anyway, okay, that's my tirade about the pregnancy storyline.
It was a mess.
Her arc is totally that. And we can skip ahead to that part where...
I'm sorry. I have to end with the worst part of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's finally deciding, what if I just be a Christian now and like lean into that? Uh-huh. Okay. This is what he says to his wife, who he has essentially been leading on with filling her with blanks for 4 years.
Filling her with blanks.
Ew. Being so annoyed that she didn't deliver the spaghetti he wanted, even though he couldn't keep the damn power on.
Mm-hmm.
Such a bad football coach. All the dads are talking about him. He has his little come to Jesus moment. Mm-hmm. He's in the orchard. She comes up to him. And you know what he says to her? After, by the way, delivering the news in the middle of his like football complaints that, by the way, my dick is broken. So your dream of having children is basically kaput forever. But isn't it so sad my football team is not winning?
I mean.
He asks her, if God never gives us children, will you still love him?
Him.
God.
Yeah.
God.
Yep.
Yep. I was speechless.
It was insane.
Which that kind of felt like plucked from a sermon.
Yeah.
You could imagine someone at a pulpit being like, and if God never gave you children, would you still love him? And that's just sort of copy and
paste. To say that to her.
Uh-huh.
Who, again, blanks.
Blanks.
4 years. Didn't bother getting checked. Finally did. And said, is your faith strong enough? To deal with the fact.
You're making fun of the question,
God,
Caroline.
Has designed your life to be destined with this loser forever.
You're mocking it, but I do ask that question on dates often. Like, where are you from? Do you get along with your parents? And if you never had children, would you still love God?
Still love God? And like, her faith has never been in question this entire time. If anything, his has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Incredible movie.
Yeah, it's messed up.
But she does get pregnant.
But he never gets anything fixed, right? It's just the faith.
No, he just like has so much faith.
The magic of his faith.
Yeah.
He gets a lot of stuff. He gets a truck.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a truck. I was like, oh.
It is sort of like, you know how there's certain movies from the 80s and 90s that feel like little boy wish fulfillment?
Oh my God.
Like obviously Big is one of those in the movie Blank Check where he like gets to make out with a 30-year-old and have ice cream sundaes and stuff. This is absolutely daddy's wish fulfillment of like, I want my football team to win and I want a Ford F-150.
A big red shiny truck.
My hot blonde wife to be full of my semen.
My good semen.
It's disgusting.
It's so disgusting. But only after she fixes the freaking spaghetti problems we've been having at home. I don't know how me, a big man, is supposed to live on sandwiches.
This isn't usually the case when watching the movies that we have to watch for this alone, but I was busting up.
Oh, me too.
There's something about him, about Alex Kendrick, who is starring in this movie, directed it, wrote it with his brother Steven, that's just inherently dopey, funny. Like, he is sort of adult Charlie Brown looking, and he does have a perpetual frown on his face, and you love to kick him while he's down. It's just... I can't articulate why it's funny watching him emote. It's funny watching him cry.
Very funny.
Get mad. He's scream simple. At children.
Uh-huh. He's a simple man.
He's simple. He's simple faced.
Simple coat.
His haircut's terrible.
It's bad. He's always wearing a polo shirt.
Oh God, he looks awful.
He's just like inept even when he does like win.
He's inept.
Well, and so much of this is like for the frame of inspirational sports movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Rocky or Cool
Remember
Runnings,
the Titans.
Or Remember the Titans, of course. A Mission Trip bus favorite in our church.
Oh, of course.
Is that there's one of two ways to end your movie. Your team wins and oh my God, isn't that great that you won. Your team loses, but then there's some sort of like spiritual victory.
Yeah.
And not like spiritual like God, but just some sort of like, but actually we understand how to play better and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
In this movie, they do explicitly outline when they're like, what if we played because of God? Which is like, the monologue was so weirdly worded and circuitous. I'm like, what's different about what they're doing other than
just like a different mindset or mentality. It's not like they're running different plays or anything.
No, it was like, well, so it all starts from, you know, there were two farmers that asked God for whatever, corn.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Strawberries. But one farmer went out and prepared.
I just got a vision of Caroline teaching Sunday school for the first time in 15 years. So there's two guys. They got corn, I want to say.
They have like a bacon farm, I guess. But only one of them went and prepared his field. So when the rain came, you know, guess who got corn? And it's like the guy who prepared the field. So this is like such a massive 180 in his mind. You could actually prepare your team through practice to like win games. That's like his whole new thing, and he's like drilling it into
everybody. They do the death crawl, and then they can win.
And then
they
can
death
win.
Crawl.
It kills me too that this man is working at a private Christian school, and as a football coach, has never like used God as a motivator before. I'm just like, this is for me, a former Christian school kid, unbelievable to ever imagine this wouldn't be used often.
Yeah, because also public school coaches are probably doing it more than he is.
Exactly. It's right there. The signature thing. Wait, one thing we forgot about when we were listing his losses.
What else has he lost?
What's so funny was when these players, his football players, he's poured so much into, reach their senior year, they will literally move far away to be traded to a different school. Mm-hmm. This happens with one of their students, and the other coach goes, not for the third time.
They uproot their lives.
They uproot their lives. It's difficult so bad to be tied to this loser. Mm-hmm. That they will go and live with a whole other parent, a grandparent even, to like, play at a rival school.
Anything to get out of the blast radius of the failure.
The failure.
Wafting off of this man.
Which, by the way, you don't have to do with private school. You can go wherever you want.
For 6 years. Didn't they say two? He's been the coach for six years.
Yeah.
They haven't won. Again, it's like for 6 years.
Yeah,
6 years.
He's bad at his job.
He's terrible.
Objectively.
Yeah, you could argue it might be time to reconsider.
Another loss is, you know, and not to make fun of people that don't have much money, but, you know, when you don't, you do have to buy like knockoff brands of your favorite foods at the store.
Oh, yeah.
So instead of keeping name brands like Honeycomb at home, they did have, as a prop in the background, a cereal box that said Coney Bomb.
It's so easy to read, too.
Well, and usually you just make it a generic, like, Frosted Nut Balls or whatever.
Yeah.
You make it a whole different thing. You
don't just same font.
Change two letters like Coney Bomb?
Coney Bomb.
Coney Bomb.
What is a Coney Bomb?
Sounds good.
It's incredible.
Instead of Cheerios, they had Chi.
I also want to talk about the bone-chilling scene where it's like during the montage of how everything's turning around.
Uh-huh.
And like all these kids are now getting saved or something.
Oh my God, the revival.
The revival.
They're all getting saved. They're all getting good grades because of God.
I was just like, this is, I hated it so much.
The revival scene, yeah, made my skin crawl.
Skin crawl. There was one scene where there was like three teenage girls on the bleachers.
Crying.
And then an adult man was coming over to them.
He's like, run along now.
And like, no, he like put his, you know, and I was just like, this is every experience at a Christian camp I have ever had. And he's just like watching. That killed me.
Apparently, it was the football team that had started it.
The football
too.
Team started
like,
the revival.
What?
That other old guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Look at him.
No. Touching her.
He touches her.
Back off.
And he's just looking. What? He's like,
but then it
this
flashed.
Guy. This guy happening? Praying over their lockers.
Bowl cut.
This was all because of the football team.
So is that guy a teacher, by the way?
Yeah, who is that guy?
He's so weirdo. Who's just like crawling the street, the hallway.
There's a runner for the listener. There's a runner where there's this man who goes into the empty hallways of the high school and extends his hand and grazes the lockers with his fingers like it's weed in a Terrence Malick movie. And they show him a couple of times and he's just kind of whispering prayers basically. He's like, let me pray for this person.
He's like the magical janitor.
Yes. Exactly.
And so,
but what?
It flashes back to him doing it when he approaches the girls on the bleachers. Like and see the fondling of the lockers did work.
He's been praying for revival for years and years
in the football field.
We got to talk about the kid with the abusive dad.
Oh my gosh. And how his advice is respect him no matter what, because he's your dad.
Literally, because the Bible says so.
The Bible says. And then, so the kid goes to his dad's work and is like, hey, dad, I just want to tell you.
I respect you.
I'm going to fucking respect the shit out of you because my football coach told me to.
I should.
Yeah.
And he's like, his crazy mean dad.
His dad is so mean.
His dad is so mean. And the coach, rather than being like, any sort of normal adult being like, you don't deserve that. It's gonna be okay. I'm gonna go talk to your dad. He's like, you treat your dad with so little respect. How dare you? The Bible, which, by the way, I just started reading a couple weeks ago, has incredible advice. It's just obey authority simply for the sake of it. And it's like, this is such old Christian, like, authoritarian shit, but the way they spell it out so plainly and without any compassion for this kid, it's like, this is one of those dark things I've seen in a Christian movie.
I feel like every toxic thing that I hate about Christianity was in this film. Celebrated.
Yes. Like, what else? What do you think?
So.
Definitely the respect your parents no matter what was chaos.
That was troubling.
Obviously, the way he treats his wife was troubling, and how it seemed like her entire purpose.
Because he was messing around with that rat that they found in the floorboards. Oh,
that made me hate him.
First of all, disease
everywhere. Your broke dick couldn't go look in your house for what the smell was, and you were just letting your wife deal with it alone. And then when you did find the rat, which she's so horrified by, you're like, get in closer.
It's a rat.
And then you shake it at her. How dare you? You owe her 5 kids.
Well, also, I think maybe there's something to the fact of we've seen this adult Charlie Brown so down and out the whole time and just kind of have resting pout face.
Yeah.
That to see him smile is chilling. It's like, this isn't right. No. I shouldn't be seeing.
You don't deserve this.
Teeth right now. That, this isn't good.
When he surprised her at the flower shop, he was like, telling her he got a raise. I thought that scene was bone chilling because, again, seeing him try to be, I guess, romantic. Like, I don't think they
suddenly
kissed once,
caring
also.
About her.
No, they definitely
it's not,
didn't.
It's
at
not
all.
His actual wife. In
yeah.
Real life.
And it wasn't, I feel like they never even demonstrated the fact that, like, yeah, one part of his, I guess this is supposed to be that.
Oh, like to nice that hair. Of wildflowers
Lloyd Christmas
wife.
Showed up at your job.
I see. That's awfully sweet of you.
Oh, yes. I've got a special evening in mind for her tonight.
In that case, you need a car to go with those flowers, don't you?
She's
going to
make me spaghetti. Oh, no. I've already got the perfect one. I'm going to give it to her at her favorite restaurant this evening.
And then maybe my...
We'll watch some clips from the football game.
My bent hog.
Oh, she will. So I need your nicest, largest flowers, and money's no object.
Oh?
You see, I got a raise today.
And even the shed deck, it's clearly just like someone's basement or something.
Lean back. Like... Take 5 steps back from this woman.
He has a presence, though. You cannot deny.
He has the presence.
He has an energy that is hard to ignore.
Sticky.
Quite sticky.
Ew. Disgusting.
I would
so
say.
They don't even make that part of the journey. Like, oh, part of his problems in life is that he was so shitty to his wife all the time. I don't think that's even part of the journey. No. They're just like, well, she stepped up and had faith in God. And then he got... an extra $6,000 a year. They check the number, which I think brings him up to 30
grand a year, baby.
Which, listen, you know, we're all struggling. Again, but again.
Bush era money. That was a lot.
Yeah, this is.
And he's like, I'm going to take you to an expensive, you know, TGI Outback. Fridays dinner. Asshole.
That we have to talk about the David of it all. The kid.
Oh, yeah.
Who they kept being like. He kept being like, I don't know why God made me so tiny and weak. And I'm like,
I know. He's like, this is a normal size boy.
So
there's a little soccer player boy who's new in town.
He has an insane dream.
Oh, wait, what's his dream?
To go from playing soccer to being a kicker on a number 6 very mid football team.
Yeah, it's super twisted.
Full of losers.
His own father is in a wheelchair.
But
with some sort of something.
But can kind of
stand up when he really tries. So he's not fully paralyzed and he tries to stand up sometimes.
He's got a good attitude about it.
He has a great attitude.
And he's very old.
He's
again,
super old.
I was like, this
they're
should
all
be
alone.
The grand... This, yeah, no, we don't know what happened to the wife.
Yeah.
He still wears his wedding ring. He looks like his grandfather.
I tell you, his dick is not broken as this man. Gentleman's. Yes.
You know, that is working.
Oh my God.
Working.
He's trying to motivate his son to be like, go out there and like do it. Yeah. And the kids again, like, but I'm so tiny and I'm so weak.
So tiny.
And I'm so small. And like, everyone hates me.
And his name's David.
And my name's David. And on the nose. Then his dad is like, if I went around moping about being a wheelchair, I'd never get anywhere, would I? I was like, whoa. Hit him with the wheelchair guilt. Like, dang.
Yeah.
Like, it was.
I guess I would do that if I was in a wheelchair. I would be like, hey, have you considered how much my life compared to. I would just blow
on the regular
all the time.
Yeah.
I guess so.
That was such a weird. Because it was like, okay, the beast, you know, we had the storyline with the wife. Then they threw this in. And I'm like, this was so bizarre to me.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it's a David and Goliath story. But like, the David is the loser coach. But there's also a literal David.
Who they kept being like, he's so tiny.
He's so weak and bad at kicking.
Twink David on
Twink
the football
David.
Team.
He gets a literal Charlie Brown moment, like falling on his back,
with
kicking
the football.
Oh, in the game. Yeah.
But it turns out he could do it.
There's a lot of montages. There's a lot of like, they're getting better.
And then
the last like 10 minutes, most of it is just football footage. That's not that interesting to watch.
I did forward a little bit.
You have to.
You have to. Because
it was
like,
so much
crazy.
Football.
Yeah.
So it was this movie was just under 2 hours.
It sure was.
It was a long.
They were in the edit bay for a long time.
We got to keep in this scene.
But then the climactic when David makes the kick, his father gets out of his wheelchair and he's standing kind of, you know, leaning up against the fence. And a passerby walks by and he's like, hey, are you all right? He says, don't touch me.
I'm standing for my son.
I'm standing for my son.
And he goes, Davey.
And he keeps doing, the goalpost arms.
Goalpost arms.
And it cuts to David being like, oh, I don't know this guy.
Yeah.
Like, not my dad. It cuts to him. And then it cuts to the American flag.
Oh,
it does cut to that.
Oh, maybe he's a veteran.
What's that?
Maybe that's the implication.
Oh.
He's a troop.
Nom.
He's a troop.
He's a nom troop.
From the Iraq War that's currently happening.
He was
even
old
shot.
In the Iraq War, but he was just under the cut.
I thought there was a cutoff for that.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's the implication.
That was weird.
It's all together.
And then they win, blah, blah, blah. But it is something that's like so tied into prosperity theology.
It is exactly that.
The idea of if you pray and if you do this, God's going to do this. And a no.
Pretty much one for one, like one
literally.
Plus one equals we win the game. But then every once in a while, he would give the little trapdoor of like, but we'll praise him if we lose also.
And
I was
it's like how
gonna,
though?
You've pretty much just credited like, if you pray, we will literally make the goal.
That's what it was the entire movie. He got a truck. He got a giant red truck from Mean Dad. Him and his son are watching. They're like, yeah.
Wait, I want to find that one scene where he kind of calls that one kid out for.
Oh
check.
Yeah,
for
when
all
you're
this
surfing
has been about
on
us, how we can look good, how we can get the glory. The more I read this book,
the more I'm like, what?
The more I realize life's not about us.
How did he get hired?
We're not here just
to
get glory,
school.
Make money, and die. The Bible says that God put us here for Him, to honor Him. Jesus said the most important thing you could do with your life
when
is to love God with everything you are and love
others
as yourself.
Yeah.
So if we win every game and we miss that, we've done nothing. Football then means nothing. So I'm here to present you a new team philosophy. I think that football is just one of the tools we use to honor God.
What?
How?
So you think God does care about football?
I think He cares about your faith. He cares about where your heart is.
He's playing.
If you live your faith
chess.
Out on the football field, then yes, God cares about football because He cares about you.
No.
He sent His son Jesus to die for us so we could live for Him.
A little twink.
That's why we're
twink.
Here.
Look at him. So tiny.
But see, small. It's not just on the football field.
Okay, here it is.
We've got to honor Him in our relationships, in our respect for authority, in the classroom, and when you're at home alone surfing the internet.
Bam.
Look, his eyes go down. When you're jacking off.
Close up on that poor pimply teen.
Rough. Rough,
he doesn't
dude.
Cut to a kid at any other point.
Just that part. Surfing the internet. Surfing the web.
He wipes his hand clean real quick in an insert shot. It is so funny.
You almost see the reflection of pornography in his eyes.
Zooms in to something absolutely explicit in his retina.
It's just some jugs.
Giant jugs. I'm
rolling back and forth.
One in each eye.
Stop.
Zooming in.
That made me laugh so hard when I saw that. Oh, my God. Like,
man, imagine being with your parents and watching that. You're that young boy, this volunteer from the church.
Mm-hmm. he knew these kids, real.
Yeah.
Was in the edit, man. Like, which is the perviest looking football player we have? Oh yeah, little Jeremiah.
Who's the one that looks like they cannot quit spanking him? Oh, geez, Louise.
Looks like he knows how to use a computer, but only for one thing.
No, I don't know if you would assume this about me, but I did not play on my high school's football team.
Oh, you could have been a kicker.
Wow. Oh, now my pants are ripped. Oh, I shit myself. That would be me. But is this a common tactic that, like, coaches are like, you need to not look at stuff on the internet? Like, Christian or not, are people like, don't jack off, it'll ruin your concentration
before
the game?
I think everything's fair game, you know, when you're a football coach, especially a Christian football coach. You own those kids.
You own them.
You can do whatever you want to them. You can tell them, go obey your abusive dad.
you might get a truck out of it, though.
Single one out and make him do, like, very punishing physical feats
the
of strength.
Of the football
screaming
field.
The in his crawl. Ear the entire time and then call that good coaching and teaching him how to be a leader, quote unquote.
This scene has been cut out a lot. This is the death crawl scene where he's, like, training the kids. He blindfolds one of them. It feels like stuff that people I knew from kind of Christian cult stuff would talk about, like, doing and, like, the middle of Texas and eating their own dog food and vomiting down a hill. But, he blindfolds a kid and then gets another kid to get on his back and then crawl the entire length of a football field.
Yeah.
That scene gets clipped out a lot and shown in churches. Yes.
What?
As an example of perseverance. Mm-hmm. And this is why, you know, you need to, like, stick to hard things because God, et cetera. So this is a very clip-outable. Let's cut to the sermon example on the, you know, projector screen sort of movie. You see this is a big scene on Facebook with, you know, a lot of people's moms, I think.
Yuck. Which Kevin is always keeping tabs on. That's how he knows
his favorite
demographic.
Mom's on Facebook. I'm following like a hawk. Their every move, what they're into.
Oh, yeah. Their culture.
What's out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm joining those private groups. I'm listening. I'm not posting. I'm not doing anything
aligning.
To disrupt the waters. That's right.
I will say my favorite character was the rival coach.
Oh, yeah.
With the lollipop.
The lollipop.
Big Bobby or whatever.
Big Bobby Duke or something.
Who I believe he was played by the associate pastor of the church.
Oh, my
Lord. So that's a pastor guy who's just
that's
sucking
a pastor.
On his lollipop.
Wow. Uh-huh. He had pretty big, you know, high school coach
sure.
vibes to
he
him.
Did.
I guess kind of goes hand in hand with being a pastor.
Now, Caroline, this might be a personal question, but when you found out you were pregnant, did it kind of happen in the way that it happens to the woman?
Okay, this was so
movie.
Chilling to see.
Chilling.
I was like, I thought I made this up.
So she goes in, and once again, they're like, nope, barren per usual. She's like, all right, well, that sucks. And then it kind of cuts to this, like, all the dialogue goes away.
Oh, there's no dialogue this entire sequence.
And then there's music. There's a very Christian soundtrack. No less than two Third Day songs, Casting Crown songs.
And I believe.
Yeah.
I'm come just doing together. Backup vocals while you do
oh,
this
yeah.
scene. Okay.
And so then
God is here.
The nurses are like, yep, she's absolutely worthless as a female. Now. Wait a minute. Did I mix up the clipboards? Oh, silly me. I mixed up the pregnant and not pregnant clipboards. Let me run out to the parking lot and give her the pregnant clipboard.
Pregnant clipboard. They're jumping up. They're crying. They're hugging. Again, her loser unemployed husband couldn't be there for not this there. Damn appointment.
Not at the appointment.
Not once.
But I have to play.
When she says she knows it.
Taylor could it.
This is kind of the cherry on top line of the movie.
I screamed.
He's supposed to be out looking for a job.
Ain't it good to be the catch?
Yeah, I did it, Brooke. He did it.
And this is how you told me, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Again, I thought
he
I
gave me his job. Provided for our needs. Took away my fear.
Well, $6,000.
Mm-hmm. He throws in a state championship just because he can.
Okay.
It's been one of the best days of my life.
The day's not over yet.
What do you mean?
Acting.
Grant Taylor, I just want you to know that you've made the team.
What team?
The daddy team.
Yeah.
No. Look at him, he's crying. Stupid face.
We're gonna have a baby.
We're gonna have a baby.
Those two brain cells working so hard together.
Eve. Oh.
We're gonna have a
going
baby.
From one ear to the other.
Tell me, Coach Taylor.
Slowly sinking in.
Tell me what's impossible.
Tell me.
God's on your side.
Her voice. You guys.
I know.
Oh, God.
He's crying.
I'm overwhelmed.
And then he starts eating her out.
Ew.
It goes straight to her lap.
And then I love the 2 years later cut. Karate.
Yeah, this kind of wax off.
Chills. I have chills.
Oh my God. Here we go.
Is this the 2 years later?
Yeah, oh, yeah. And then the reveal with the baby.
And then she's pregnant again.
Pregnant again.
She's fulfilled her destiny of being constantly pregnant for the next 8 years of her life.
Good. The daddy team. Why is she talking like that?
She has trad wife voice.
She has trad wife.
The daddy
sweet
team.
Sweet and soft.
Nathan, come in
Nathan.
Here.
Nathan.
You might.
I'm going to tell him that tonight. You might the team. He's like,
the daddy team.
Okay, so
this is where I reveal that I watched this in high school because I went to a Christian high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot that that was this movie until I was watching it because there were two things me and my friends talked about all the time. One is wheelchair dad going, Davey!
At the field goal.
And then the daddy team. We quoted the daddy team all the time, constantly.
So even back then, you and your friends were like, this is...
Oh my God, this was hilarious to us. Yeah.
Wow.
We, even as children, knew. And this, I mean, arguably is a movie made for us.
This is very rare that you've watched something we've...
And I remember.
But you didn't remember clearly. Until you started watching it?
I think I thought, I think this is that one. And then, and one look on our stupid man's face. I was like, I know this man.
It's hard to forget that face.
The daddy team.
Facing the Giants. Kyle told me someone at his college had a poster of this movie in their dorm. He went to a Christian college. Yes.
I didn't know he went to
this
a Christian
college. This was like
college.
The Godfather for that guy.
Instead of Scarface, it was like Alex Kendrick's mug. But
Facing the Giants.
Over the dorm rooms.
Yep, this was a big hit.
Hopeful for every loser.
He was very
loser.
Familiar with this movie. He knew it and everything.
He knew it.
That is so funny.
I know.
The impact is undeniable.
It's undeniable.
This is cuckoo that
it made $10 million.
Your husband and you have seen it.
This
before.
Movie was huge.
We're saying, you said it made $10 million the way people are like, people saw Barbie. It made $1.3 billion. Yeah, it made $10 million.
It had reach.
It did.
Got out there. I don't know. Or the Kendrick Brothers like distribution church money machine works really good. I don't know.
I mean, who knows? But it makes me want to go through the rest of
the filmography. Oh,
yeah. The discography. Yeah.
More. There's got to be more dialogue.
Overcomer.
Like that.
We've already done Fireproof, of course.
They did Fireproof?
They sure did. Yeah.
It was Kirk Cameron.
Which again is about surfing the internet.
It's kind of he kind of just does like YMCA guy movies, right? Like cop, coach, firefighter.
Don't do a Native American. Don't do it, Alex. It's not your territory.
I feel like I could do it really good. He saw He saw Killers of the Flower Moon. Like,
he's like, should be shorter and better.
Yeah.
Fireproof is about Kirk Cameron being addicted to jacking off.
Oh my God, I need to see.
Yeah.
That was one of the first ones we watched for
this
podcast.
That was episode two.
It's about porn.
Oh my God, yeah. At one point he throws the computer into the trash can.
He sure does.
And he gets into boats.
And his, oh yeah, he loves jacking off in boats. It's, yeah, he replaces it with boats.
Fireproof?
He just gets a lot of boat catalogs.
Yeah. Like, well, wow. Wood is wood.
Wood is wood, honey.
His wife in that movie has a little cameo in this one. She plays like the on-screen reporter that's like, I'm here today at the school where everyone sucks shit at playing football or whatever.
Incredible
that's
acting.
His actual that's part.
It's his wife in Fireproof. Yes. Erin Bethea is her name. Wow. What a film. What a film. Anything else that we didn't talk about? I'm looking at my notes. I do love the revelation at the end of the death crawl of like, and that guy was 140 that you carried on his back. He's like, coach, no. I'm 160.
You carried an outright fatty on your back.
A fatty.
A real chunker.
You seen that movie, The Whale? That's what that looked like
you
from
did
a
it.
Distance.
All my notes are screaming at stinky that house. She makes 6K. David, small and weak in what world? And then I gave up writing notes.
David's like a sophomore in high school, too. It's like he's literally not even done growing. Yeah, he's a little boy.
He's a little boy.
So, God, maybe he's supposed to be 19.
I'm like, okay.
And if you're going to cut to someone about surfing the internet, it's probably David.
Probably David.
Yeah.
His dad can't roll around the house fast enough to keep him accountable.
Yeah, he's got a warning system in place. Like
he
here's the squeaky wheels. He's like, X, 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 delete history, X, 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 X.
God. He has dozens of tabs open. Woo.
Oh, gracious. Well, I think we should rate it the way it works, Nina, is we give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down or a side thumb. Thumbs up is a holy toast. That's when we send it to heaven where the angels will be toasting it forever.
We got a little shy.
Wow. Yeah, they sure did. Or holy roast, we send it. Or if we're not sure, we send it to the space between. Purgatory, the space between, sung by Christian movie producer Dave Matthews.
Oh,
who produced the movie Ordinary Angels with Hilary Swank.
Wow. Okay.
We start
okay.
with Caroline.
I think, man, it's hard to say this. It did bring me a lot of joy. What a dark movie with many dark messages to tell the youths and the women of the world. And all the losers that they can. The fact that they're communicating to every loser coach at every Christian high school across America, if you like read the Bible for, again, a handful of days, that you get to keep your job, your wife.
No.
I'm just going
to
have him in the room with us.
Again, God, comforting him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Always.
The way those two told each other news about fertility was unbelievable to me. It was always like a dog's pill and peanut butter. And the peanut butter was always football.
Oh, my God.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Like, Jesus. What? Anyway, so this...
The baby's kicking off right now. Like, it keeps happening throughout the pregnancy.
Yeah. They're like, but how was practice?
He's breaking into the end zone.
Yeah, so my water
go.
Broke. Yeah. But the practice was good. Anyway, so I'm going to say this movie is joining the roast team.
Whoa.
The roast team. You got on the team.
You made the roast team.
You might it.
All right, we turn to Nina.
Yeah, I'm sending this baby to hell. To the fiery.
It does not make the age of accountability. We send this baby to
hell. No, that guy, his face alone. I am angry that he made me look at his face for an hour and 51 minutes.
I'm a star.
I looked it up and I was like, does he have reps? You know, like, does he have an agent? No. He does not.
You need one.
You don't need
he's got
one.
A machine.
He's the king of his own Georgia kingdom.
That's the thing. It's so wild to
it's
me.
Working.
Crazy. And it's working.
Yeah. I hate him.
It's disgusting.
I hate Alex Kendrick.
But if their next movie is Union and you get...
And if they're like, do you want to be the star?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You want to be...
gotta make...
We'll delete this
episode.
Little
baby making wife.
Yeah.
You take it.
Yeah, would you be... if you got a role like this...
You got the voice.
Which as a woman of color, you probably never would in a movie like this, unfortunately. But if you yeah. got it, yes, would you... Yes. What you
if it's Union and it goes towards my health insurance, yeah. hell yeah, brother.
Great.
Sign me up.
Dye your hair blonde.
Yeah.
And isn't this the face of a man who loves unions?
Yeah, he loves, you know, he does everything above board.
He's like Tyler Perry out there, just like cranking out these yeah. movies.
Also in Georgia.
No accountability.
No.
The church is funding it. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Anyway,
do you think Alex and Tyler know each other? Do you think they've exchanged words?
I think they nod at each other in the street. They're like, I see. Yeah. That game record.
Wow. Two titans of the industry.
Listen, the movies arose, but it was a toast of an experience watching it. Yeah. I was kind of sad we weren't doing a commentary while we were watching.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh man,
there's
we're
a
like
lot.
Leaving money on the table. Mm-hmm. So because of that, because of the peanut butter and jelly of that experience, I'm like, space between for mm-hmm. me.
Space between.
I have no regrets about watching it, yeah. which is not always
Coney bombs alone.
I was eating my Coney bombs on the couch watching it, having a grand old time. It was beautiful. Wow. And isn't this better, Nina, than the movie you almost picked?
With a real actor?
With the real actors.
Which is an hour and 35 minutes.
Mm, 20 minutes
shorter. 20
minutes shorter.
Nice
than
short.
Facing
Not a
the
lot
Giants.
Of football in it.
No.
Probably.
No. Well, we don't know.
We don't know where the
it.
Story would have went.
Yeah.
I will be watching that one.
Maybe Jesus
we'll bring
would
you
have
back
played
for
football.
That.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. I do love the main actor in
we'll
that
make
one.
Good.
We'll do a make good on that for okay. sure.
No more punishing you and Kendrick movies.
I know. Or no, we need to, or do we complete the trilogy?
Yeah, my fault.
Bring back for The Forge.
I know.
Yeah.
How about that? Mm. But now we're dimming the lights in here. Mm. We're lighting the candles. And Nina, on other shows you might go on, you might plug yourself or promote your projects. We're not here to do that.
Mm-mm.
We're here to lift those things up to the Lord, including something you're enjoying in secular culture. The last great thing that you watched, saw, read, listened to, etc. And we'll start, as per usual, with Caroline.
You can join the Caroline team at Caroline's Farts. And I'm going to lift up Ari, my girl Ari. She put out a new album.
Music video.
I haven't watched it. Video? No, I haven't had like a time to sit sobs, with it. Sobs. Okay, need to watch that. I'm trying to think of like what's my favorite song on here. I wanted to give a... bump.
You're talking about Eternal Sunshine.
Yeah. Or maybe it's by.
Yeah, but the album is called Eternal Sunshine.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. The album's called Eternal Sunshine. Mm. The song I like is called by.
Mm. That makes sense. Yeah. The music video is an Eternal Sunshine theme.
Yes. The whole album kind of is.
Oh, my God. That's devastating.
Isn't it fun thinking about her and SpongeBob watching Michelle Gondry movies together?
Okay. Well, by the way, it's extra devastating because some of the Blind Item rumors were that she and Jim Carrey. We're hooking up.
Wait, Ariana Grande?
Yes.
Absolutely not.
But no, he's a Christian.
He's a good man.
He's a good
It's unbelievable.
Have you checked in with him, Nina? He's incredible. For real, he's incredibly Christian now.
Is he?
Jim Carrey? Yeah,
oh,
hardcore.
Lord.
Like scary one. Yeah. So I had to wonder, are
That's
some of these
really
songs
sad.
Even really about him? Possibly. There's a little something to think on.
Eternal Sunshine is actually love songs for the Grinch? The Grink himself?
The Grink? I know. Isn't that wild?
Was the Grink there?
Like the Eternal Sunshine song in particular, I was listening to it. I was like, this could be about Jim
Jesus.
Oh, it's so gross. Anyway, fun album.
Looking forward to seeing what
like,
race
bummed
she'll
out the
be
whole
next
room.
Year.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't even know if I can watch Wicked now. Oh, man.
Sounds like they're over.
Oh, okay. Then I can watch it. Mm-hmm. All right, we turn it to Nina.
Okay, something I've enjoyed secularly actually is on theme with the movie. As I was watching this movie, I just watched Band of Brothers for the first time.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
What got you to watch Band
My
of Brothers now?
My husband has been begging me to watch
Nina's,
the beginning
Nina's
of our
a David Schwimmer
Only
completist.
The love of a wife could make
and
me do
twisted
that.
Twisted my arm, and let me tell you though, Caroline,
It's good.
Obsessed.
I watched it when I was like 13 when it came out or whatever.
So good.
So good.
It was 20 years ago.
It's heartbreaking.
You watched it when you were 13?
Yeah, my family, we like watched it together. Yeah,
because of the troops.
Yeah, because we love the troops.
Well, it's because you know, this guy, Alex Kendrick's probably a big Band of Brothers fan. That death crawl scene was giving me Band of Brothers flashbacks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, just, God, it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
I owned Band of Brothers on DVD when it was like, when TV on DVD was new.
B-O-B.
And it came in this like tin steel case.
Of course it did.
That was so pretty and so like army looking, obviously. And I never watched. I watched one episode and I was like,
you
got
it, Kevin. Kevin.
I know. I need to watch it. I'll see if it's on Blu-ray.
It's all about that war, you know?
Yeah. It's all about that war.
Still things we don't know about World War II.
Like what?
Like what did they eat? No one knows.
Now we're gonna do a World War II epic, but from the chef's perspective,
I want the troop. See that.
Yeah. How many ways are there to bake a potato for a troop?
And I'll tell you, I'm really into Band of Brothers fan fiction right now, which is problematic.
Okay, now this is problematic.
Is it like slash fic? Like
I don't know. I don't read that. I read like Band of Brothers slash reader.
Okay.
Or OC, original character or reader insert, where it's in second point of view, and it's like you and Colonel Winters walking down the street. You're a nurse in Belgium.
Your husband did not sign up for this. He didn't think.
Yeah. What has he done? He made a little.
He made a monster. And it's on him. It's on him. And now I'll tell you, not many people are writing Band of Brothers fan fiction in the year 2024.
Mm-hmm. No. But I'm digging. Hard to find fresh.
But I'm digging
material.
I am digging.
But it's kind of better when there's not as much to go through. It makes it more manageable.
I'm finding it. It's out there.
Real fans.
It's out there. And all the disclaimers are like, I don't want to offend the real veterans. This is purely.
All the World War II vets reading fanfic
about their
please don't
sexual
get offended.
Escapades with the nurse.
You know, there's like a sort of sequel series on Apple TV right now.
There's the Pacific and then Masters
Pacific
of Air.
Pacific and then, yeah, Masters of Air.
Austin
Butthole and Barry Keoghan himself.
No way.
Old bathtub liquor.
Masters of Air.
Bastards of Air.
Well, I like that one.
Interesting.
Masters of Air. Anyway.
Well, you're pro Austin, right?
I am now. I've been converted, you guys.
I think he's good as an actor.
The press tour of Dune has made me love him.
Oh, yeah.
I'm drank the juice.
I heard he's like a really conservative Christian.
Absolutely.
Let's get him on the pod, Caroline.
Like, from a good
source.
Is
Kaya Gerber a Christian?
Wait, who's this? Well, tell me later.
I'll tell you later. I don't think so. I don't know. I actually have no idea. It could be.
Okay, I got to find out.
Yeah. We'll talk off mic about it.
Okay.
If she was, she'd be one of two Christians in bottoms with Iowa debris. No, she was. Oh. She was on our show many years ago.
Mm.
Back in the day.
Okay.
You can lift us up. Or no, I guess I'll do my stuff. Wait, I'll where can people up. Lift you up, Nina?
Oh, you can find me on the Instagrams at Nina_Concepcion.
Okay. And if people have if they need the slash fic, you'll DM them.
Oh, yeah. I have a secret Tumblr. I have all the links. So, and that's true. I do have a
You
secret
do have a Finsta Tumblr?
Mm-hmm.
A fumbler? Is that what it's called?
I have a secret Tumblr with all my little fandom.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, babe.
Get Hell it. Yeah, dude.
Hey, Tumblr's coming back.
It never left, honey. It never left.
You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter on Tumblr? Am I on Tumblr? Maybe. And I'll lift up another movie starring a meek and mild boy named David. I'll lift up a movie called AI, artificial intelligence.
Oh no! How dare you? Oh yeah, I loved this movie when it came out.
Is that Haley Joel Osment?
Does it hold up?
Yeah, I've seen it three times.
Wow.
I saw it three times when it came out when I was an 11-year-old boy.
Wow!
I was like, he's so big, or whatever we said 25 years ago. Okay, it's giving me, and everyone's like, "What the hell do you mean?
You have parents."
Giving me.
Imagine an 11-year-old in the year 2001 said, "It's giving me." You'd be like,
"Set to help him."
Do you need to go to the hospital?
Sign him up for some classes.
Oh my gosh, Haley Joel Osment was serving cunt. AI.
No.
You'd be like,
"Stop,
young man."
No crumbs left. None.
He ate I. Yeah, so I'll lift that up.
AI.
Good
so,
grief.
So, when he's stuck in the bottom of the ocean forever.
Oh my God, I've never
so
seen
sad.
It. Okay. Oh my God.
Great score by John Williams.
Hell yeah. I'm going to watch it now.
A lovely song at the
love
end.
Love a devastating.
Sung by
if you love Band of Brothers, you're going to love it.
It's the
Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, there you
I
go.
I love a Spielberg romp. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it.
Like Lincoln, that's Spielberg. War horse.
A romp.
He was romping around all the time.
Love me, Lincoln.
You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun. And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. Nina, thank you so much.
Nina,
thank you for having me.
6 long years for coming back. What a nice time.
Such a good update.
Thank you.
And there's nothing left to say except for, okay, I love you, Emma. Amen.
Now watch this drive.
Should we add, you made the daddy team?
You made the daddy team.
You made the daddy team.
No.
And we'll go out with something from the old sex playlist. This is Open the Eyes of My Heart by Michael W. Smith.
Sex playlist.
Once again.
I recommend this for foreplay.
And then you go into a little something softer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Softer than this.
And then this again for cuddle.
Yeah. You want it to be like a full arc, like beginning
of my heart, Lord.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye. That was a HeadGum Podcast.